Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
And he's Jared Wackerly.
Hello.
And we are back breaking down the final two segments of the rookie class of 2024 running backs. It's been very last episode, or last two episodes, we said, hey, a lot of these guys are okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These next two episodes, I'm like, there's some good guys here, but a lot of guys that aren't okay.
Yeah. There's some guys towards the end there that they're going to be rough. We'll get through them.
Yeah.
We'll talk about them. We'll tell you why.
They're the doo-doo in the doo-doo pie.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we always say it is important to highlight both the good and the bad, so yes, we know what to avoid as much as we know what to draft.
Or well, I hope draft. You brought your highlighter, because we have a lot to highlight amongst these guys. So,
do you highlight in good and bad? One different, one color for one, another
a red and a green or something like that?
Well, to be fair, I never highlight,
okay,
ever. But if I did, I would.
Yes, I think that's important.
Yellow for...
It makes it visually pleasing and easy to read. And dissect.
Yellow for I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. I don't highlight, so I don't.
I don't either.
Green, yellow, orange.
But in theory,
I'm so lost.
I'm 44. Orange. I haven't been in school in a long time.
All right.
only old school.
I don't use a highlighter anymore.
School okay. Hard knocks.
That's where I'm at. So we're back. We're going to jump into some running backs. I want to thank everybody who took the time. We asked last episode, this time of year, if you leave a rating and review on iTunes or whatnot, hit that subscribe button, like button on YouTube, and got some people who hooked us up on there. So a shout out to them. If you do enjoy the show, don't forget to leave a rating and review. We always appreciate it. Now, are you guys ready to break down this third episode of the rookie running back class?
Yes, sir.
One before the final one. Then we get to these wide receivers. Thanks.
So we're going to take a little break, right? A 1 week hiatus.
Hiatus.
Well, Rich is taking a break.
We'll still be here.
Right. I'm going to Vermont.
Covering prospects.
I'm going to go snowboarding for
prospect
5 days.
Break.
With my children.
Yep.
If I can, because my son broke my back yesterday, but we'll see.
He should not have been wrestling him.
I should not have been wrestling my state wrestling kid. No, he literally hurt me. I had to go to a chiropractor today for 2 hours.
He's a big boy.
All this technology.
And you're old, man.
But I work out. This is what drives me crazy. I work out. Like, I can easily outbench him. I can do all, but like, he is unbelievably strong.
Yeah, wrestling, you get muscles in different areas that just normal workouts can't.
All the areas that I can't defend. He's like Bane and Batman.
Yep.
There goes my back. Snap, backle, crackle.
I was born in the darkness.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, TriFlex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is the perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality. Matt, please tell us about Our first running back.
Our first running back is Trey Benson, running back from Florida State. He was 6'1¼" tall.
High.
He was 6'1¼" high. 216 pounds, 9¼" hands, 31½-inch arms. He's got a wingspan of 76⅜". He is 21 years old. He'll be 22 in July. In the 40, he ran a 4.39 with a 1.52 10-yard split. Nice time.
Cooking.
In the broad jump, he did 122". He had a 33½-inch vertical last year at Florida State. In 13 games, he had 156 attempts, 906 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns, 20 receptions, 227 yards receiving, and another touchdown.
Yeah, not only is Benson young out of Florida State, but Trey Benson also has a lot of tread still left on that tire.
You got it right that time.
He did use it correctly.
Only 316 total carries and 33 catches in college. So he's ready to go. And I'm going to say this is, out of all the running backs that I've watched on tape, this is easily, and I don't mean that, okay, he's clearly my running back one. I wouldn't say easily because there's a couple guys behind him that are pretty good,
really
too.
Really solid, yep.
But he's in a tier of his own. Like there's like the other guys, I'll let the draft capital kind of decide. And to be fair, like if Marshawn Lloyd goes to the Cowboys, like, and Trey Benson goes to Tennessee, I don't know. Like he'll go down.
They're close enough to where that would factor.
Please don't put another running back in Tennessee.
It could be bad.
So don't put that into the universe.
You just never know what's going to happen. So, but sometimes when like guys like Gibbs go to like Detroit and you're like, what is going on here? It ends up working out for everybody.
Yeah.
It works out for everybody. So for me, Trey Benson, there's a lot of things to like here. When I watch this guy, you mentioned how explosive he is at that 40 time, the 1.5, like it shows up on tape. This is somebody that I saw every single game bust off a huge run. Every single game, and he's got really good contact balance. He's got really good feet, and I know we were talking before the show, like Matt and Jared, like they didn't love like his agility, like his lateral movement.
He's a little stiff laterally. I mean, it's almost like a robotic type of movement at times, but he does, I think, make up for it. You mentioned that in the explosion, you know what I mean? Once he gets going, he's able to still separate from guys, but it's just maybe not the most natural and fluid movement for him when he's going side.
He's no Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
He's no DeAndre Swift, but I feel like his feet are quick enough where he could still make defenders miss and he could still win. And I love his quick feet inside. Like he moves inside the tackles really well, finds those holes, gets there. He's big enough, strong enough to make like to move that pile to break those arm tackles. And if you give this guy an inch of daylight, he does have the speed to just go. He's very explosive. Great contact balance. I love the initial burst off the line as well that I see here. His size is great. He's not afraid to lower the pads. Can make defenders miss. I know the lateral ability. And I agree with you guys for sure. Like he's not
going to string together moves to like make.
No, he's not Reggie Bush out here.
But no. And what's nice is because of his size and his speed, he doesn't really have to. Like
don't want him to necessarily.
No, I want him to bounce outside, one cut and go.
Yes, he's more of when you look at like. Archetypes, he's more in the Adrian Peterson archetype where he's going to be physical. He's going to get north and south. He's going to make big explosive plays. He's not going to be stringing two and three moves together to make guys miss. So sometimes guys play out of their natural lane and I want him to stay in that lane. I want him to be more the Adrian Peterson type, the Nick Chubb type, the guys that, hey, let's make one good move and go. Let's get upfield. Let's get north and south. And let's break some arm tackles, things like that in the open field and go.
Yeah, and just like Nick Chubb, he's viable in the passing game. Like he's not going to run some good routes, and that's, you know, his hips would probably slow that down a little as well. But he's very viable in the passing game. I didn't see him drop one ball out of all the tape I watched.
I had in my notes that he had some odd drops.
Did he?
Yeah.
I had one that I saw. That was it. So I only saw one. I watched 6 games on Benson. I only saw the one. So it was definitely, and he looked natural doing it. Didn't look like he was fighting the ball or anything like that. So
that was going to be my note on it. I didn't see any of the drops. I've watched 5 games on him. So maybe I just haven't gotten to the games.
It's a pass fail. He can catch the ball.
Yeah, he can catch the ball. He does it pretty naturally. He's not fighting it or anything like that. So.
Yeah. So something else that I noted, there was some talk about his vision. And we have a lot of All-22 on Trey Benson. I loved his vision. I did not see the question marks people had on his vision. And there's one minor point that I'll get to where maybe this is coming from, but overall, I thought he did a great job at being patient, letting his blocks develop, especially on some of those counter plays, those power plays. He seemed to really have a good natural feel for it. And those are the types of schemes that I want to see him go to. Not that he can't do the gap schemes. I think he'd be fine there as well. But I think he identifies the holes well. And when he sees it, it's an instantaneous, like, boom, yeah, go. Like, right now, he's not hesitating. He's going. Now, the one caveat I'll put with that, and this was a negative for me, there were times where it seemed like he tried a little too hard to hit the home run plays. And then you would just see these weird instances of indecisiveness, yeah, when he was trying to do that. And he would turn what would have been a 1 yard gain or a 1 yard loss or around the line of scrimmage into a 3-4-6 yard loss. So
like the first play of the game versus the first Florida, right?
The first play of the game against Florida.
7 yards he lost.
Yeah. And there
they lost like 2 yards the very next play.
Yeah. And like right away, he had like 3 or 4 different instances to just like get upfield and just take what they gave you. But he was trying too much. So there are some, there's not a lot of them, but there are a few sprinkled throughout his tape where I think he is trying a little too hard to hit the big play, and I want him to just get what's there. But overall, the meta narrative of Trey Benson is he is a downhill runner that is going to make some big plays, and I really liked what I saw.
My number one weakness I had down here too was his indecisiveness as well, like, which is, again, sometimes he does show really good patience, but that could sometimes hurt a player. But for how young he is too, I'm like, okay, that could be coached up. That could be like, hey, no, Trey, we want you to follow this block and go. You make the decision after that point. We don't need to see you here dancing. We need you to go. So, like you said, it was showed up on tape, but it wasn't a concern for me.
Not consistent, and I'm with you. Thing.
I liked his vision. I thought his vision was really good. I thought it was really good in open field, and I think that with his feet is what helped him make a lot of those big runs that he had.
Yeah.
And what I really liked his vision as well is in between the tackles. Like, when he's in there and he's pressing, like, he could see, he keeps his head up and he's big enough, he could still see, and he'll find the right spot every single time. And I love that kind of vision too in between the tackles, because that's the difference between being stuffed at the line or getting 1 yard and then getting 3 to 4 yards.
And I think he understood leverage of defenders really well too, because he would do a really good job of like pressing, and then even where he would cut, he wouldn't cut so far outside that he would get chased down. He took good routes. Like, he really understood the leverage of defenders and angles really instinctively.
And who he can outrun,
yeah,
which is important. I mean, if you're a running back, you need to know where that I can beat that guy to this spot, and then, you know,
yep,
we'll take it from there. Whatever happens, you know, if someone else comes along, we'll deal with it then. But I do think he does all that kind of stuff well. He's a guy that can operate, you know, inside just as easily as outside. He's got all the bits and pieces to his game that he needs. And I said, you know, in my notes, I have a lot of the same stuff. Like, he's a find the hole, hit the hole, go type of guy. And I agree, that's where he's best. And I didn't see a lot of dancing. Maybe I just kind of construed that as him kind of just being patient, waiting for things to kind of develop ahead of him.
Well, even more so dancing. He would,
it would just be small bouts. It wouldn't be a lot, but you'll see it once or twice a game where, and you could maybe disguise it as patience as well, but where it's weird, because so often when he saw a hole, he would hit it and hit it hard.
Yeah.
And then, but there would just be these small times where the hole developed, but he was just a little too slow and indecisive, and then tried to like bounce it or cut it back inside. And then it got all muddied.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen often, but I would say probably 5 or 6 times as I watched his tape, there were moments where I was like, ah, right there. He didn't see it quick enough.
Or like, he saw it, but he didn't know if he was
second guessed
like,
it. Yeah.
Like, should I go? And he doesn't. And then he said he's forced to bounce outside. And now where you get to like that 1 yard gain.
Right.
Along those lines.
So, well, I think we got another 5 games that I can watch.
Yeah. We have a lot of
this guy. So I'm going to dig in a little more. Right.
He's everyone's either RB1 or RB2 amongst all of us, right?
I think so, yeah.
Garrett and I's RB1 and you and Matt by RB2, yeah. But Matt's
splitting hairs.
It's literally the smallest of margins and as Garrett, far as, yeah.
I mean, something we didn't even hit on in his profile, and it correlates exactly to why you have him RB1. I mean, he tore his ACL, MCL, lateral meniscus, medial meniscus, and his hamstring.
I love all those guys with bad knees.
In 2020, where he thought his career might everyone thought his career might be over at that point.
Which,
but
for me, that's so long ago. Yeah. He was so young. Like
I think it just speaks volumes to who he is to even come back from that, to be considered a top back in a class.
And what year was that?
2020.
Okay. So that was a while back. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was when he was at Oregon.
Okay.
Because in the following year, he only had 6 carries for 22 yards. So he didn't even rush the fall. He didn't play at all the following year.
Yeah. So we thought Marshawn Lloyd, who tore his ACL, also was going to be your top back. But you found a guy.
I found another one that even had a worse knee injury.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
That's so. You know, I'd like to try to stay consistent in my analysis. Last,
it's just funny.
Last thing. It's weird. It really is. The last thing that I will highlight is, as a small negative, he is a little bit of an upright runner. Overall, I would like to see him lower the pad level.
What'd you think about his pass pro? Because I graded him out at a 5.
See, I had some positive marks on his pass pro overall. I thought his feet were pretty good, and there were times he missed.
I'm sorry, 6.5.
Oh, okay.
Lloyd was 5 for me.
I thought it
was
okay. I had low marks for Lloyd as well.
So, but so for me, I had a guy, like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to rich you, but ooh. For a guy that didn't catch many passes, I feel like he was out in a lot of pass routes.
He was. He didn't do a lot of pass protection.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of, I'm like, I don't have a lot to go on here. You know
what I mean? And there's a few guys like that in this class where it's like, you got like 5 reps to determine if they're good at pass protection or not.
I had his vision graded tied for best in the class too, Garrett. So I liked it as well. I mean,
yep, I had it as one of the best ones in the class as well. So yeah, it's weird. I heard it from a couple people that they didn't like his vision. And I'm guessing it was those moments of indecisiveness is why they put that there. But you could tell when he recognized things, man, he recognized and he was hitting it. Like, I really liked it overall.
I haven't watched any of these receivers yet, but this for somebody for me is clearly a first round grade. If you have your rookie draft Superflex Titan Premium before the NFL draft, like, this is somebody I'm taking in the back end of the first round easily. I would say by the time the NFL draft comes along, I think he gets day 2 draft capital. Maybe he's even high as the second round. I think he's good enough, definitely on a contender. Cowboys, Chargers, Chiefs. Like,
let's say it is the Cowboys. So let's play a hypothetical real quick. Let's say he goes to the Cowboys, you know, whatever their second round pick is. Say he goes there. Does he challenge what we've perceived as the top 8?
So I was asking myself the same question because he looks really good. And it's easily, you can say the top 3 quarterbacks are above him. Easily.
Right.
Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. Easily over him. Now, I know you guys, I don't know if you guys have watched Roman Dunze, but like I said before, it's probably out of Marvin Harrison Jr., I watched most tape on Roman Dunze. Uh-huh. It'd be hard for him to get ahead of Roman Dunze for me.
Okay, so you got Bowers and McCarthy then.
And then, in fact, all this news about people are training up, like J.J. McCarthy's for sure going top 10. Probably top 6. That means for sure J.J. McCarthy is there. And then we're going to have the conversation, do you take J.J. McCarthy over Romo Dunze and Brock Bowers, let alone at 8 at this point? So that tells me, like, can he be ahead of Brock Bowers? And tight end premium, probably not as well.
Probably not.
So you're looking at pick number 9 overall. So pick 9 and 12. And that's, we're not even talking about Ladd McConkey or Brian Thomas yet either. So, like, you're getting Trey Benson at 9 or 10. And I'll promise you this. If he goes to the Cowboys, for example, he will, and I would say, again, this is me just completely making up a number, but 17% of leagues, he'll go above pick 9. And a Superflex time premium.
It just makes pick
9. Dude, people need
how specific that number was.
17.
Running backs are too deep. Dude, everybody needs a running back. He goes to the Cowboys, people are going to be salivating. They're going to be going from 6 to midnight, and it's like they took a blue pill because it ain't going away.
And now you're
consult
talking.
Consult a doctor,
so
please.
So what percentage would you put on him going from like anywhere from 6 to 9?
69?
Well, Rob Gronkowski. If he goes to the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I would say probably 25%.
Okay.
Of leagues, because I mean, if you're talking premium and say you got Dalton Kincaid and you have Sam LaPorta, right? Like, you're gonna
pick you.
You need to run it. I understand the thirst on running. It doesn't matter what anybody says.
And no,
they say we're not a data driven podcast. Come on,
I've got facts and whole hard.
No, we're being silly now, but for real,
25% of leagues, I feel like you would go at least top. I
think in that range somewhere. Yeah, I think it's viable to think that he's, or at least, you know,
and I think
it's not out of the realm of possibilities to think that he's going to go in that range if he's drafted by.
And the one thing that I want to say that's different from some other players that we've seen come into the back end of the first round in other years. This guy, assuming the draft capital we're talking about does actually happen, the tape backs it up, the draft spot, like all of those things actually back up for him to be worth a late first round pick.
The
Ronald Joneses of the world, the Keyshawn Vaughns of the world, those guys. What's that?
I said chill out talking about those guys.
I know. Kendre Millers of the world. Like those were running back 4 and 5 and 6 in their classes that were moving up because of need. No, we're talking about the number one running back in the class. It's just this happens to be a really stacked class at the top. So I just wanted to parse that out because I've told people before, like, don't just move up running backs because you need them. No, this is actually where he deserves to go as the number one back in the class.
Yeah, I think right around 9, but people have a need for running back.
For speed.
It's going to jump up.
It's going to artificially push him up even more.
Yep. 100%.
Last thing, I never actually said my score. He was the only one in this class to crack a 75 for me, which is fairly significant. I tweeted it out last week, but it's a pretty short list. He's one of only 9 guys so far that have cracked a 75 for me over the past 5 years. So it's not a huge group. And the guys in that group are really, really good names. So
I just realized we're like super close on him anyway. I'm 74.9. Yeah. So
okay. So yeah, we're crazy close.
Yeah.
I got him a hair lower, 73.
Hey.
0.525. But I'm just starting out here. This is brand new for me. So yeah. You know, I'm figuring out my way here.
Well, so far, I mean, you're pretty close to, you know, you're in the range.
In the order, at least.
Yeah.
Nerds, listen up. This is your last chance to take advantage of our free year offer through our promotion with Underdog Fantasy. Deposit at least $10 with Underdog using a promo code NERDS and receive a free 1 year membership to Nerd Herd and the Dynasty GM bundle subscription to Dynasty Nerds. So you get everything we've always been talking about for a $10 deposit on Underdog using that promo code NERDS. This offer closes on April 30th, so don't miss out. We are almost through all our rookie breakdowns, and right now you can take advantage of these insights by drafting best ball teams, including this 2024 rookie class. Draft your team and don't worry about setting a lineup, making trades, or paying attention to the waiver wire. Use your leg up on these rookies against your competition. Remember, deposit at least $10 at Underdog using a promo code NERDS, and you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 and a one-year free Dynasty GM and Nerd Herd bundle membership. Hurry up. This offer closes on April 30th. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and presented in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW York. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You'll have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It's fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out the DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right. So moving on from Trey Benson, let's get going on the next guy, Bucky Irving from Oregon. He's 5'9", 192 pounds. He's got 9 1/4 inch hands, 29 1/2 inch arms, a wingspan of 70 5/8 inches. He is 21. He'll be 22 in August. In the 40, he ran a 4.55. He had a 10-yard split of 1.54. The broad jump of 115 inches, 29.5-inch vertical. Last year in 14 games, he had 186 attempts, 1,180 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns, 56 receptions, 413 yards, and an additional 2 touchdowns.
So Bucky Irving out of Oregon, a name that's been one of the names that's been kind of floated out there for a while now. We've been, you know, this is a class that wasn't as exciting at the running back position. So we're trying to find different guys to get a little bit of excitement around. And when you watch some highlights of Bucky Irving, I think there's reason to be excited watching those highlights. He makes some really nice cuts, some really nice moves, strings some things together,
yep.
Can catch the ball. But overall, when you factor in that he came in at 192 pounds.
192.
That's not ideal for a running back.
It's hard to operate in the NFL.
Anything under 200 is tough. And ideally, you want to be 205, 210 plus to really, you know, be able to
withstand
the NFL punishment. So at 5'9", 192.
His BMI is like one of the lowest in this entire class, if you're a BMI guy. But it's just wanted to point that out there.
No, I think it's a great point to highlight. So I watched his tape with that in mind, trying to see,
yep.
Okay, smaller back, what can he do well? What can he not do well? And so while I was watching him, there are definitely things that I think he does well. I think he is one of the more elusive backs in the class. I think he's fairly quick. And for a smaller player, I was pleasantly surprised at how well he absorbed contact.
He operates pretty well in between the tackles.
Yes.
And he does a lot of work there.
He does.
I just don't know that he can do that in the NFL.
And that's going to be the issue with him. Mm-hmm. He's not an overly explosive player. Mm-hmm. For how quick he is, he's not explosive. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have much of a power element at all to his game. He's struggles in pass protection. There's a lot of question marks that I have. I think his vision is just average.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything special there. So overall, he ended up getting a 68 for me, which is not a death sentence at all, but it's not a positive. You really want to be above a 70, and he wasn't able to get above a 70. So for me, he's a guy that I'll keep an eye out for, but I am not going out of my way to draft Bucky Irving.
I'm not either. And I think a lot of what you said rings true. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have another gear. You know what I mean? He can't, if you're small and you're not overly fast, mm-hmm. you're living on just lateral agility, and everyone in the NFL is fast. You know what I mean? You're not going to run into the defensive linemen that aren't fast.
And they're more disciplined. Fast.
They, of course they are. So it's going to be harder to just down in, down out, do what he was doing in college at the NFL level. I do think he's good enough in the pass catching role that mm-hmm. he could latch on somewhere as a specialist there.
He'll have to.
And I think that's his route to making an NFL team and kind of any fantasy relevance. And if he happens to land on some team that wants to feature that as a big part of their offense, then that's how he becomes fantasy relevant. And really, in my eyes, the only way he becomes fantasy relevant.
Yeah. When I put on my kind of tiers of these rookie running backs before the show today on Twitter. And the number one comment I got back was like, oh, but where's Bucky? What about this about Bucky? And I was like, man, what am I missing? So like I literally before the show went back and watched 3 more games that I did not watch. I watched a lot of tape on this guy. And I'm not going to call him like sucky, getting on my nervins, you know. I'm not going to say something like that. But like you guys already kind of stole some of my thunder because I thought with like all this, like I've heard his name and everybody talking about on Twitter. Yeah. I thought like one somebody here would like him, but I'm already behind the car. I'm behind here already, but I'm with you guys. Like I just don't see the juice with him at all. That's my biggest thing is his size. Obviously, that's clear as day. His size is a problem. And yeah, he's okay in a passing game for sure, but like he can't pass protect. Like that's not very good.
So, I had him. He's the worst guy I've seen pass protecting. I gave him a 4
I have 4.5. Okay. Yeah.
Generous with a 5.
No bueno. Like not between, like some people say that between tech, I don't see any juice here and it shows up on his athletic scores. Like, but it shows up on the tape first. Like, I saw all that stuff afterwards, and I'm like, yeah, that all makes sense. Like, he has no juice whatsoever. He can't block. He's getting pretty much what's there. Yeah, he can move laterally, but so what? That works in the scheme. Like, like Matt said, he can win in an outside zone scheme, something along those lines, where he can be fantasy football relevant, but, like,
I'm not even sure he's fast enough for that.
Yeah, and he's going to be a change of pace guy.
Don't put words in my mouth. I never said that.
Oh, okay. That's what I said.
Pass catching role is how he wins in my eyes. That's it.
I do not see this at all. And the only reason I even have where I have, because there's a lot of people that I like in the industry that like this guy, and I'll take their word for it, because I'm not drafted. I won't have any shares. Like, he has to get drafted to a spot that I'm like, okay, this works.
Okay, this is going to be redundant and silly, but I think any pass catching back that goes to the Kansas City Chiefs is going to have some value, because they have a guy like Isaiah Pacheco on that team, and they have Jerick McKinnon, who's just, he's 32 years old, and he's going to age out of that role pretty soon. So him landing in that role might be the only way that I could see him having some fantasy relevance.
Will Shipley's going to the Chiefs, not this guy.
And that's fine, because Will Shipley also does pass catching really well. And
better than
and
this guy.
Yeah, so it's more explosive.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, that is the tricky part is,
come on, stop,
just because they're a good pass catcher doesn't mean the team
was use him much better than Shipley.
So Bucky Irvin out of Oregon, he's definitely a name you'll probably hear amongst names, maybe other analysts or even professional. But, I mean, at this point, it's consensus. None of us like him.
I mean, he had my highest grade for elusiveness and contact balance. Like, I thought he was really good there. His leg drive was really good, but like you guys, I mean,
contact balance. I saw him knock himself over in USC. I thought it was so funny. I paused the tape so Matt could see it when he walked through the door.
It was pretty funny.
Dude, no, there's so many plays where I'm like, how is this guy not going down? He's 5'9", 195, and he's just taking all this contact, keeping his feet and keeping play live. That's
a lot.
But anyway.
Even on the play that Rich is talking about where he got knocked backwards, he didn't get knocked down.
He caught himself for a second. No, he fell over.
Yeah, I thought his balance was really, really good.
He caught himself. Yeah, USC game, the play before he throws the quarterback the ball, like, I had to show Matt the play. I had to go back. I'm like, dude, this is Bucky Irvin to me. He just runs to the side, runs in the back of his own offensive lineman, and, like, he bends backwards, like he knocks himself down.
But he has, I see what you're saying about the contact balance. I think that lends to him having good feet and good balance. He just doesn't. He has no power. I mean,
yeah, no power, yeah. No juice. He'll have to be a third down back that catches passes to be fantasy relevant. And I have him as my fifth graded running back. So we'll see what happens with the draft capital.
How you like him then?
What number did
you
have?
Yeah, you do like him.
As far as the scores go,
please,
he was
71.5. You're the outlier. Wow, that's
pretty
good.
He's 5'9", 195. So the odds of him as a running back being a fantasy producer are, like, super low. So I'm like, the nerd score is what the nerd score is when I watch the tape. But draft capital is going to play in, and just overall, like,
logic.
Thoughts on
logic.
Yeah, logic. Exactly. So,
but you like him.
I think he's a solid back. Yeah, I just have a tough time seeing him being a producer. And a 71.5 is not that great
score anyway. Like, I have a 68.
There's not many producers going back in, like, the combined score. 71 for me is like Kevin Harris, Jamar Jefferson.
Those are good reference
Kenneth
points.
Gainwell. Yeah. Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, those
I like
guys.
Kevin Harris.
He's my RB11.
I'll say this. I think Bucky Irvin's a fine college football running back. Very fine. It's just, I only look at these guys as dynasty fantasy football assets. That's where I view them as. What kind of rookie would they be? And I just don't see him turn anything that I want to put in my lineup on a week in, week out basis. I already can't find. Like, is he better than DJ Dallas?
No one's better than DJ
Dallas. That's why I look at you. Yeah. That's why they look at you.
For what it's worth, I mentioned he's my RB12 in the class. I only have seven running backs that I would even remotely consider drafting before, like, the middle of the third round of your rookie drafts.
Oh, seven, that's a lot, yeah.
I only have about seven that I would really consider. There's a couple other guys that, like, will I take a flyer on in the fourth round because of something, a trait that I like or something? Sure, but there's only seven guys that I have any sort of confidence that they could actually make an impact in fantasy football.
I know, and I think that might even get uglier after NFL draft.
It could.
It definitely could.
It could. Because right. A couple of these guys are guys that I might like more than consensus.
So let's move on to the next guy that may or may not make this list of top seven for Garrett. Dylan Johnson, Washington may running not. Back. 5'11". What'd you say?
May not.
May not. And 5/8 inches. 217 pounds. 9 3/8 inch hands. 30 inch arms. 72 5/8 inch wingspan. He is 22. He'll be 23 in June. He ran a 4.68 in the 40. He had a 1.62 10-yard split. Not great. He had a broad jump of 117 inches and a vertical of 31.5 inches last year at Washington. In 14 games, he had 233 attempts, 1,195 yards rushing, 16 touchdowns, 24 receptions, 190 yards receiving, and 0 additional touchdowns. Rich, go.
Yeah, those combine numbers show up on tape as well. This is somebody who has no top-end speed, does not have a lot of wiggle in his game. His burst is average at best.
He's not great, but I thought he was a little faster on tape than 4.68.
Well, I mean, everybody when they're playing that game looks a little bit faster than 4.6. Okay. I'll give that. But like, you could tell also like he's not outrunning any even linebackers at that point. So, but here's what I felt like he is what he is. Like, I don't see a player like, oh, he's gonna get better at the next level. Like, where's that growth gonna be? So there's some things he does nice. Like, I really like him in short space. I think he's really good there. The way he can move in between the tackles.
He's good. Lateral jump cuts in the hole, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right there. He plays tough. He's you're not gonna bring him down to a simple like
he's arm got a, tackle. He's right? got above average, I would say, power.
I would agree with that. I think he had pretty good leg drive.
Yeah.
Overall, and I think his power showed up in his pass protection. But overall, when you talk about a fantasy asset, he has my fourth lowest score in this class. Like, I just don't see a route for him to be fantasy relevant.
I agree 100% on that.
It's gonna be tough. I agree. And the weird thing about him is he caught a ton of passes early in his career, and that dwindled down as he kind of went on. So he had 36 catches his first year, 65 his second year, 48, and then 24. So I think he's capable probably of being used a little bit more in the passing game if somebody chooses to. But I don't think he's a high-end enough runner to get that opportunity. You know what I mean? He's probably not good enough to be a passing down specialist. So it is very difficult to kind of find an avenue for him to be fantasy relevant. So he's a bit of a conundrum for me.
I've got 14 running backs I just counted that I even just have on my board.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, late guys, like so Chase McClellan.
Is he off of your
he's
board?
He's off my board.
This guy's off your board.
Yeah. So like Isaac Guerrero. I mean, all running backs in the late could be on the board. Depends where they draft. Like,
are you drafting six rounds? They're on my board.
Yeah. Any of these guys who jump, like, if they get drafted and they're, like, I feel like they could make the roster, be the running back two possibly on that list somehow, like, then they're back on my board.
And,
but,
and that's what I
this receiving class is so deep, like, where I normally, like, hey, I'm going to grab all these running backs or premium positions. Like, these guys are bad enough where, like, and this class is so deep, I'll just take the long shot on the gamble who's the smaller school receiver that I like. The way I look at it.
Because don't forget, we wrote off another player who ran a pretty similar time to this. I did. You did. And all of a sudden now, he's in L.A.
And I look tearing like a smart guy.
So I just want to make sure that we don't eliminate guys just based off of a bad 40 or something like that.
Back of my board. Let me put it that way. He'll be at the back of my board, not off
my
board.
I'm going to see where he lands. There's enough there, I think, that he does everything.
He's also old.
Okay, nice.
My second worst score in the class.
So my fourth or second worst.
This guy's just like a right. He's hanging around Bucky for me, so I don't have high hopes for him or anything like that.
But you like him a decent amount,
Bucky. You have him close to Bucky.
I don't like Bucky a whole lot either. In fairness,
I thought he was so much better.
He was a producer. Yeah. I mean, he did produce numbers. It was a very good offense, but
yeah,
he put up numbers. Put up numbers.
Who's the other running back on that roster?
I don't think there was one. Yeah, there was. I mean, there was one, but nobody.
He had a big national championship game. He had a couple big runs in the national championship game.
I'd have to look. I'm not sure.
He had like two big runs. Like one was for a touchdown.
I'd have to go look.
All right. Well, no one here knows.
I thought he looked better than
I'm going to move on to this other set of dual running backs from a school. Yeah. The first of two.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady.
a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kendall Milton, Georgia running back, 6 foot 1 1/2 inches, 225 pounds, 9 5/8 inch hands, 31 3/4 inch arms, 77 1/2 inch wingspan. He is 22 years old, just turned 22 in February. He ran a 4.62 in the 40. He had a nice 10-yard split, though, 1.51. Broad jump of 124 inches, benched 18 times, 35 1/2 inch vertical. Last year at Georgia in a timeshare, in 13 games, he had 121 attempts, 790 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns, 4 receptions, 25 yards, and no touchdowns.
It's weird because Kendall Milton feels like he's been at Georgia forever for me, and maybe it's the Devy thing, or I don't know what it is, but when he came out this year, I was like, wait, didn't he come out last year? And then I was like, oh, wait, that was Kenny McIntosh, mm-hmm. I guess. But watching his tape, his body type, like I didn't even need the measurables. I could just look at him and be like, he looks more like a wide receiver than he does a running back. He's a very tall running back.
6'1 1/2".
You know, and if you're not packing on the pounds at that size, that's almost a little bit of a liability.
He's 225.
That's fine. But we have other guys at 5'10 that are 225.
Sure. No, you know, doubt like about he's it. Yeah. He's distributed differently.
He is. He's yep. built more like a physical wide receiver. And there were times that I felt like he kind of played that way, where he didn't seem like a running back that was a polished product to me. I thought he had good vision overall. So I gave him pretty solid scores as far as vision goes. But when I went through the rest of his tape, there were moments where he showed a little bit of power, but nothing to get excited about. I felt like his stride length was almost too long at times, to where he didn't have that quick, elusive movement that you typically expect out of running backs. Like that didn't.
There's something weird there with the speed, because I think he's pretty quick. He doesn't have long speed. He can't toast a guy in the open field.
No, he's I mean, and that's displayed by his 40. But maybe you guys will end up being higher on him than I am. I liked his running mate more than I liked him personally. I was not a big fan of Kendall Milton's game.
What's your grade?
He ended up having the 7th low score. He did get a 65. There's a gap there. There's guys that got over 65, and then there's a bunch below a 60 or at 60 or below. He got a 65, so he's not like off my board bad, but once again, he's another one where I don't know what an NFL team is going to see in Kendall Milton and say, we're going to utilize him in this way. Like, what's that trait that makes them want to use him, other than he was a Georgia running back that has some tread still on the tires?
He gets what's there.
He's a Jag.
He doesn't have a lot of wiggle at all.
I thought he had pretty good vision.
Yeah, I thought he had good vision. I thought you know, he had enough power there because of his size. But again, size wins more in college, which he tried to utilize, like you said, in open field. Like, he would try to win with power more than wiggle.
I think he knows that he doesn't have wiggle. Speed and movement skills to kind of beat guys that way.
His pass pro was good. I didn't mention that.
It was.
He did have one of the better pass pro scores in the class for me.
Eight there.
Yeah. Okay, I had a 7.5. Yep.
Yeah. I thought he did a good job getting skinny at times. He was doing tackles. I know, but like, you know, find those holes through there. So, I mean, you know, he finished the year real strong, but again, he was on a real good team as well. But for me, for a guy who doesn't have, you know, a lot of you know, high-end speed, not a lot of juice, not a lot of wiggle there, a little stiff. As a running back, like that's just going to be a big turnoff for me because the odds of you ever becoming fancy successful are slim to none because your opportunity to ever be a three-down running back are extremely slim. So for me, he falls in the category of just like below like almost all the other guys we talked about last episode besides probably Wiley. He's in that same category of Michael Wiley for me. It's like same ranking category. Like, okay, round five, maybe? Sure. He gets drafted in sixth, seventh round?
Totally. Situational dependence, if I'm going to draft him at all, he's right there with Dylan as far as my nerd score goes. They are neck and neck.
Neck and neck.
Neck and neck in a bad
neck and,
oh,
neck, so and neck in a bad area.
I'm so glad I get the lead on
this
guy.
He's off my board, dude. He's so low.
I've got such a good stat.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Well, next guy.
For who?
Are you good? You got anything on Keelan?
He's off my board. Like, he's so low on my grading list, comparatively speaking. He's 62. I mean, it's just, I don't know if he gets drafted, but yeah. You guys are talking fifth or sixth round. Those guys, we went over the hit rates. I mean,
almost nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Next guy up, Dylan Laube, or Laube. Sorry, Laube.
Laube.
New Hampshire running back, 5'9" and 7/8 inches tall. Excuse me. 206 pounds, 9 1/4 inch hands, 29 3/8 inch arms. He's got a wingspan of 71 1/8 inches. He is 24. He will be 25 in December. Whew. He ran the 40 in 4.54 seconds. He had a nice 10-yard split of 1.52. He had a nice 20-yard shuttle of 4.02, and his three cone was excellent, 6.84. He had a broad jump of 118 inches, bench press of 23, and vertical of 37 inches. Last year at New Hampshire in 10 games, he had 158 attempts, 715 yards, 9 touchdowns, 68 receptions, 699 yards receiving, and an additional 7 touchdowns.
Rich has no poker face. He's so excited right now.
No, I'm not.
I'm just waiting to see.
He's so excited to say something.
No, because
go ahead, Richard.
We replaced Keelan Robinson with Dylan, right?
Keelan Robinson's like, he had like 10 carries on the year.
I know, but that's what we replaced.
Yes, that is correct.
But we were originally supposed to do Keelan Robinson, right?
Did you do him?
Uh-huh.
That's all right. You didn't. There's
you're like, text me so I make sure to switch it on my sheet.
I had to go to States. So anyways, here's my favorite Keelan Robinson stat at 5'8", 190 pounds. Average a touchdown every 4 touches. And average 11.2 yards per carry.
For not the guy we're covering. Perfect.
Played in 12 games. Had 12 carries for 134 yards.
Excellent. All right, back to Dylan now.
Yeah, Garrett, tell us all about him.
Did you have something, Matt?
No, listen, here's a guy that is...
This is a guy.
He's 24 years old.
Not young.
Gonna be 25.
Definitely.
Whoa, grandpa.
We are Ray Davis territory.
And he is playing against a lower level of competition. In the tape, though, I know the Albany one that we have up isn't great. They even reference that he's injured or a little bit nicked up in that game. Some of the other games that he played in, Dartmouth, for instance.
Ooh.
what they do his homework for him afterwards?
He did really well, and he looked a lot more explosive laterally. And this is never going to be a guy that catches or that – runs between the tackles, does anything like that. He's going to catch passes in the NFL. He was a problem at the Senior Bowl in the tape that I saw, just separating from linebackers with ease. He is that kind of guy that, and it shows in his three cone, 6.84. The dude can move laterally. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's able to stick around in the league long enough to get a role is my question, because he's going to be 25 this year. And how long does that kind of take to establish himself as a lower level competition guy? By the time he gets established, what is he going to be? 28, 27, 28?
Josh Jacobs is on his third contract.
What's
by
his
25?
Date of birth, Matt?
11/14.
1999. Oh, look at me, mathematician.
I couldn't find it.
So it's just, that's where I struggle with this guy, because I like what I see on tape. I think, you know, when I saw him at the combine, I was like, wow, this guy's got really good feet. He moves really well. And then when you start digging in, Dang, he's 24, going to be 25. Then I see the tape, though, and again, I'm like, I like the way this guy moves. So
it's not because
it is the tale of two things. Like, and how do I balance those two things? That's what's going to be the story, I think, for Dylan Lauby.
Is it because he had so much time in like playing college football, and the fact that he was like when he was a senior in high school, these kids were in like the sixth grade? Does that help why his like he looked better?
And I think we mentioned this a couple episodes ago with these older guys, that's part of the thing that you have to look at. Like he's 25-year-old man playing against guys that are 18.
And he's in an NFL prime right now. And it's the FCS.
And it's a lower level of competition. Right. So it is a little bit, it makes it more difficult to kind of have apples to apples comparison.
Jonathan Taylor. He'd be older than Jonathan Taylor.
Older than a lot of running backs that are.
But regardless, he's really good at catching the ball. He's really good at separating.
You liked him better than I did. I do agree that he does have good feet, and he does catch the ball well. There's almost zero power element to his game.
Absolutely nothing.
There's almost nothing there. I thought his vision was fine, but there were times where I felt like the patience wasn't there for what you would think of a 25-year-old.
He returned kicks and stuff like that, and you can see that, I think, when he gets to the second level. I think he's got good vision out there. I think he can do stuff there. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's used between the tackles. You know what I mean? Very rarely. Maybe just as a switch up here and there.
Right, like, yeah, run a random, you know, draw up the middle or something. Sure. But.
So I don't know that the vision issues will be that bad, because I think he's good in the open field. I think he has that kind of vision.
Here I am thinking, look at me. I just crushed all of Keelan Robinson's carries in 5 minutes from 2022 and 2023. Best. All 29 of them.
Sweet. I'm done.
Crushed it.
5 minutes. And come with these sweet stats of him averaging a touchdown every four touches. Averaging 11.
Like, I did the math on that carry. One myself.
It's because I was all missing out on Dylan. So sorry.
All right. So you guys, anyone have anything else on Dylan?
I will at a later date.
I don't. And his film was tough to find, so I don't have a nerd score for him. Nor will correct. I'm not sure I can find
two more games. Yeah, I won't.
But
because I only watch.
Matt, I'm with you. I mean, there were some plays that stuck out, and I thought he was like a pretty quick. Size was all right, but we'll see. We'll see what the draft capital looks like.
Yeah,
it definitely wasn't somebody that screamed, "I need to figure out a way to get two more games."
Yeah,
like it didn't. Get that vibe from it.
To scream, I need one more year of college football.
I'm going to tell you what, because I did the YouTube stuff before I went to ours and found the Albany game, and that's one of the ones.
Albany, and we have Western Michigan from 22.
Yeah. The two games that are out there on YouTube, check them out. He does look significant.
Okay, and that'll give me my four, so maybe I will.
Yeah, he really does look better than those.
There's a website that has like all their games. This past year, we had to pay $20.
I was talking to Matt about that. I was like,
it's not worth it.
Maybe
watch Dylan.
Yeah,
for $20
for specifically for him.
Well, yeah. that's why we didn't do it. If there was, I was like, are there any other players that we need tape on?
Yeah,
that we could do it. And he was like, no.
I think it was like Flow Sports.
Man, we're fine.
We are fine.
If anybody's got the hookup,
yeah,
hit us up.
Yeah, if anybody has a hookup on any of these guys, like if you're an alumni,
period,
or you're like. The locker room manager, or
we just have access to all 22. We'll take it. Anything we can get.
We would love to have access.
We have a lot, but we could always need a lot.
We always need more.
True statement.
Can we talk about the final running back?
Speaking of more, let's get on to this next guy.
Honey Dijon.
I'm sorry, what?
Dijon Mustard.
Dijon.
Is that how you spell it? Say it, Dijon?
No, but it sounds similar. It
looks like
is that. Is it day one?
Dijon.
Day one.
Dijon. I don't know, dude.
Day one.
I have no
idea. I thought it was Dijon. Dijon. I could be wrong.
How do you say it?
Dijon Edwards.
Dijon Edwards.
How did you think it was? Because we might be wrong.
Don't ask me. Dijon Edwards.
Unfortunately, when you watch all 22, they don't talk.
There's no talking.
So we have a lot of George all 22.
There's sometimes I have to go watch. Like I'll go watch the TV just tape just so I can hear them say his name.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't
do that for Edwards.
I didn't on this one. Who cares? Georgia running back, 5'9" and 5/8", 207 pounds, 9.5-inch hands, 29¾-inch arms. He's got a wingspan of 71¾ inches. I do not have a date of birth on this guy, so if anyone's got one, shout it out. Okay. At his pro day, because he did not do anything at the combine, he ran a 4.71. He had a 10-yard split of 1.63. He had a 20-yard shuttle of 4.32.
All the Georgia
numbers. He had a three cone of 7.20. He had a broad jump of 114 inches, a 15 bench press reps, and a 30-inch vertical. Just don't test. Just don't test if these are going to be your pro day numbers. Last year at Georgia, in 12 games, he had 165 attempts, 880 yards rushing, 13 touchdowns, 20 receptions, 197 yards receiving, and zero additional touchdowns. But for real, if those are going to be your numbers at the pro day, pull a hammy.
I want this to be known because I know what direction this is going to go. And I'm okay with it. But I want this to be clear. If the camera can zoom in, that's fine.
It can't.
Can you zoom in, Jared?
No.
No, I can't.
Wow, we suck. Anyway.
Thank God for your visuals.
Here's what I want to be known. I like him.
Okay.
I like Dejon Edwards. Here's the thing. Problem is, I don't think he'll ever be fantasy relevant. But I really like watching.
So you don't like him? Because that's what like we're talking him. About.
Look, let me say my piece.
Go
let
ahead.
Me
say my you piece. Say your piece.
Don't draft him, but let me tell you why I like
but
him.
But why you should draft him. Watching his tape. Okay. I really appreciated Edwards from just a play style perspective because he's not the biggest guy out there. He's clearly not the fastest. He's not the strong. Like all of the measurables for him are not in his favor. But so often he would either avoid first contact, run through first contact, or at the very least, turn a half yard gain into a full yard. Like he was always pushing for extra and he never went down without a fight. And while that is not going to translate to great fantasy days or anything like that, I do believe that there are going to be teams that watch his tape. There are going to be running back coaches that watch his tape that will say, I will draft this guy over X player.
Kendall Milton.
I doubt
over it. Kendall Milton because of how he plays football. Like I said, this isn't going... Would you stop?
I doubt it.
stay behind. All right. So all that being said, I don't think it's going to translate to fantasy points. I'm not prioritizing him in my drafts. But I do think he has a better shot at making a roster because of how he plays the game versus how other guys play the game.
I thought he was a good one-cut-and-go kind of runner. I thought he had decent vision. I don't think he's overly fast. I don't think his burst is great, but I think that initial burst isn't too shabby. I thought for him, I thought he moved laterally.
That's a note that I have on him.
Yeah, I thought he moved laterally pretty well there. Those are the things I liked. I thought his pass protection was terrible. I felt like he tried to bounce it outside too much compared to like
a little bit, yep.
Going after it. He just tried to find a way to bounce outside. Overall, like I didn't hate his tape. I thought it was just okay. There's some things that he does differently.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It's like almost sometimes you're like, dude, are you still like you're like when we talk about like Caleb Williams running playing off script, like it's like right. He's run off script.
Yeah.
But overall, like there's nothing he does special whatsoever. I thought his lateral movement for his size is pretty good. I thought he could. Has a nice one cut and go and get what's there in his vision there of the initial behind the line of scrimmage was okay, but he doesn't do anything great whatsoever. He breaks the initial arm tackle, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, there isn't much else I could really add because I agree with a lot of what's been said from Rich. He's a try-hard guy. I just don't think he's an upper echelon physical talent.
He's not an athlete enough.
He's not athlete enough. I couldn't even say the whole word.
He's more consistability.
He needs a lot more consistency. Between him and Kendall Milton, I would take Milton personally. I know that you have that kind of the other way.
I do.
But it's pretty...
I can understand why Milton, like, he has more physical traits.
He has more traits.
To work with. So, like, I'm not going to... If someone says he's off my board, I'm okay with that. I totally get that. I wanted to make a note that I genuinely enjoyed watching his tape. Because at this point, I typically don't.
Sure.
Like, these guys are not fun to watch.
Oh, there's a guy that is going to be.
The next show's going to be a couple of them.
I get it. I mean, he's like dropping your beef jerky on the floor and then walking by the next day really hungry.
Yeah. Like, I can make that work.
You thought of 50, that 50. The whole time Matt was talking.
No, I didn't.
But, yeah, sorry. I don't know. He's just not quite there for me. But I agree that he's. And Georgia probably does too. He got more carries.
Yeah.
165 to 121.
I mean,
so they
played well against Ohio State in the.
I liked him more than Milton.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us.
That, I mean, that's fine. I just.
Peppered beef jerky. I'm definitely stopping.
Teriyaki?
Teriyaki.
It's okay.
Teriyaki is
usually
a little slimy. And if you drop teriyaki on the ground, it would probably pick up a lot more dirt. Than a peppered.
It would for sure. Yeah. Pepper, way more dry. Mm-hmm. Not as dry as our go-to.
Oh, the jar jerky?
Jar jerky.
Yeah.
Oh, extra salty.
That stuff is so good.
So good. Salty.
We'll have some of that for New York.
Yeah, any negative commentary from you, Derek?
Yeah, Mr. Negative.
No, you guys hit the nail on the head.
thanks. Hater. Call me Hammer.
Wait, which guys? Was it me and Rich or was it Garrett?
You and Rich. I paused because I looked at my score and I was actually on Garrett's tab and not mine. I was like wow.
Wait, good grief. I like him too.
to be fair, my score is 66. It's not super high.
My score is
slightly higher.
Oh, look at you.
67. Wow. I'm going to have to tweak some stuff. I clearly messed that one up.
No, like I said, I'm not going to blame anybody for having him off his board, but I genuinely enjoyed watching his tape.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's it. You can watch all that tape. In the Nerd Herd, click that Nerd Herd tab, and you join the Dynasty Nerds Film Room, where we have tape on old prospects, new prospects, 2025 prospects already in there as well. All 22 film. We have hundreds upon hundreds of film for you to watch. You can watch a guy like Keelan Robinson in literally 3 minutes.
Yeah,
this entire game,
all 22 carries, or was it 12?
Yeah, and some guys you'll watch their whole game. A guy like Trey Benson, you'll watch his whole game in 4 minutes.
Yeah,
a guy like Will Shipley, you'll watch for 9 minutes. they're different.
One thing I wanted to say, we're going to be doing an episode at the very end on guys that we might have not had the opportunity or time to talk about. There was one guy in this class, the running back out of Purdue. Tyron Tracy.
Yeah.
I have not gotten to watch yet, but I've heard a little bit of buzz on. I'm excited to kind of watch his game.
Good combine numbers for sure.
I watched some of his stuff.
Did you?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So there will be a little bit more.
He made my board. He's on my list if you see it.
There we go. So we'll talk about it.
Out of Purdue, right?
Out of Purdue. Yeah. Moving forward.
What is he out of Purdue?
Be a few guys. Yeah. There, it's out of, he's a Boilermaker.
I think. Do they make trains there? What is it?
They make chicken.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, that's it. So check out the film room. You can do all that by joining the Nerd Herd. It's a great place to be this time of year and all year long because you also get access to the Dynasty GM, which has the league analyzer, the trade browser, the trade calculator, player cards, which are coming really soon, your rookie drafts. You can mock draft inside the Dynasty GM. And honestly, you can do all this for free. All you got to do is go download the Dynasty Nerds app. A lot of that stuff is free on there and a limited way to use it. So even if you're somewhat curious about the GM and how it operates, you can go to your app store, look up Dynasty Fantasy Football. We'll be at the top. Download the app and check it out. There's the mock draft tool you can use in there. If you're a Nerd Herd member, it automatically imports all your picks. So if you want to do a rookie mock draft, all your picks are in there already. And the most important thing, what's great about being a Nerd Herd member and what we designed the GM for as well, is when you see a trade calculator and you see all these tools that operate off the websites, and you're like, man, I totally disagree. The Dynasty GM is customizable to your own ranking. So you can put your own rank set in there, and the trade calculator, that league analyzer, the rookie drafts, all of that will be based off of your rankings. It's fully customizable to operate off of the way you see Dynasty Fantasy Football. So check it out. Download the app. If you like it, you want to turn it into your own, join the Nerd Herd for the price of a cup of coffee. You can get extra podcasts, extra tools, extra tape, and the Nerd Score, all for the price of a cup of coffee. Just a little investment to make you a better Dynasty Fantasy Football player. We'll be back tomorrow with the wrap-up, the final episode of our breakdowns of the 2024 rookie running back class.
Adios.